Thank you guys very much. If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah today. We're going to take a little bit of a detour in honor of our kids coming home from student camp, just to look at the idea of what to do when we're at a crossroads. This is a text that's probably familiar to you, and it's one that we've preached before here in this place. It's one that I particularly like. It's a short text, but there's three action words in this text that God gives to his people when he brings them to a crossroads in life. Our students were at camp this whole week, and y'all's theme was revival generation. Is that right? The word revival means to relive, right? The word viva, you've ever heard that pronounced in a foreign language? This means live or long live. And the word re, you know what that means, to live again, to relive. And so the theme of y'all's camp was to be a generation that is reborn, that is revived spiritually, that allows God to breathe in new life to who you are, to set you apart, and to unleash change in the world because of what he's done in your life. Revival generation. And God's people in this text find themselves in need of revival. In fact, God, through his prophets, had preached to them over and over again. He had loved them. He had provided for them. He had rescued them. And he had sternly warned them about getting their lives back under his command, in obedience to him, or that judgment was coming. And so we're going to see that in this text today. We're going to read verses 12 through 17, but our sermon will be mostly from one verse, verse 16, one short verse together. There's something about a crossroads, isn't there? We like crossroads. As human beings, as Americans, as Southerners, we like the concept of two intersecting pathways coming at a 90-degree angle. We love to talk about them. We love to name things after them. If you got anything near a crossroads, they're going to name stuff after it. Crossroads Grill. Isn't there one of those nearby? Yeah, you know it. I don't know if it's at a crossroads or not. Probably not. But they liked it so much, they did it anyway. And so you got Crossroads Grill, Crossroads Cafe. You got a church at a crossroads. It's going to be Crossroads Baptist Church. And you know we're going to make it into a cross, right? The road. We're going to make, on our logo, we're going to put a cross there. We love crossroads. Crossroads Elementary School. Anything you can think of. Crossroads Yard Sale. You got it. We love crossroads. Why do we love it so much? Why aren't we kind of just taken with that concept? I think it's because crossroads, in our mind, it makes us think a little bit. I mean, there's a choice to be made. When we come to that crossroads, am I going to continue going the way that I came, or am I going to make another choice here? Where are they coming from? Where are they going? Is this the direction that I want to be going? It makes us evaluate our lives. We got to stop for a minute. We got to think there at a crossroads. Is this where I want to be? Is this the destination that I want to find myself at? And finally, we've got to choose. We have to make a choice when we're out at crossroads. And God is bringing his people here to a moment of choosing. And sometimes God still does this today. He brings us to a crossroads. Sometimes he does it by life circumstances. You weren't expecting it. You weren't wishing for it. But all of a sudden, you're jobless. You're looking for another job. You weren't waiting for it, you weren't expecting it, but all of a sudden there's a medical issue and you're faced with a choice, new inputs that you never had considered before. Sometimes it's natural pivot points in our lives. All of a sudden, I'm going to be a dad. I've got to think that through. God's bringing me to a crossroads where am I going to continue to be the man that I have been, or am I going to lead as a father in a new way? Sometimes it's retirement. It could be anything. Pivot points in life. But most times it's spiritual, isn't it? In this text, it is decidedly spiritual. Am I going to continue to be contented with the road I'm on when God brings me to a decision point? He puts me at a crossroads. The choice is on my plate. It's my decision to make. Am I going to continue, or am I going to look for where God wants me to go. And so I prepared this somewhat with you in mind, guys, with our students in mind. I know you're sleepy, me too. But anyway, with you in mind today, because no doubt when you're at camp for 6 days like that, with solid biblical preaching, with worship, with friends, with the leadership like Fletcher and the adults who went, when that happens in your life, for some of you, maybe most of you, God spoke in some way and brought you to a point of decision. And you can walk away from youth camp. We can walk away from that prayer time where God spoke to us, from a worship service where the Holy Spirit whispered in our ear. We can walk away from these things and say, you know what? The same is fine with me. But I think God wants us to walk away new and different. And so let's look at this together. The background of this passage is that God's people were in disobedience. They were on the wrong road. Here's what God has to say to them in verse 12 and onward. It says, I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord. For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. God's people are corrupt. From the least to the greatest, they're greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, even the men of God, if you will, from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. Have you been living like everyone? Have you found yourself living just like everyone else? You're indistinguishable in your school from the guy next door who's lost as can be, doesn't have a Savior, doesn't know Jesus. Have you been living just like everyone else? From prophet to priest, from the least to the greatest, they're dealing falsely. They're greedy. They're after the same things. God's people and the people who are not of God are just clamoring for the same stuff. Isn't that our world? And we have to concede that that feels a lot like our world today. God's people are just as hungry and thirsty and eager and lustful for the things that the rest of the world is after as well. Verse 14, they have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. The prophets and the priests, they have healed the wounds of my people lightly. You're okay. It's okay. Don't you worry about it. Your sin's cool. I mean, everybody does this. It's just the way it is. A deep wound exists. I mean, there is a deep injury, an open, gaping hole there. And the men of God who stand in places like this are saying to people, don't worry about it. You're healed up. There's no danger. There's no problem. The wound is still there. The sin is still there. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace. We're at peace with God. Peace exists between you and God, when it actually did not. When there is no peace. Verse 15. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed. They did not even know how to blush. They didn't even blush at this. There was no hint. There's no nothing that suggested to them, I should be ashamed here. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. That's pretty dark. That's pretty dooming. We don't even like that. I don't even like that today, to say that to you today. But look what God does miraculously. The mercy of God is incredible here. In the midst of this condemning word, I mean, the thing is sealed up. The indictment is sure. Thus says the Lord. He gives them another chance. He reaches out and pleads with them. Thus says the Lord. Stand at the crossroads. This is where you're at. I've just told it to you. Stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. You're guilty. I'm righteous. You've done this a long time. I've warned you. Even the prophets and priests are corrupt. This whole thing is broken down. It's full of stinking decay, and it's your responsibility, he tells his people. It's your responsibility. And right when he has the right when he would have been justified to bring the hammer down, he extends one last moment. But won't you just stand there? Wouldn't you look? Wouldn't you look at the crossroads? Wouldn't you ask me to show you which is the right way? Couldn't you do that? If you do it, you'll find rest for your souls. I'll back off of this judgment that's coming. He wants them to repent. But they said, we will not walk in it. Here's what God says. I set watchmen over you, the prophets, and I set watchmen over you saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. There's a warning blast being sounded. But they said, we will not pay attention. And so we know what did happen. God's a promise keeper. He follows through on his commands. But I want to see here in verse 16 this opportunity, this invitation, that moment to pivot when everything could have been different. Let's look at this together. There are three steps that we can take when God brings us to a crossroads. The first is this: stand still. Stand still to consider the choice God is giving you. We don't like to slow down. We don't like to stand still, me least of all. But God was bringing his people to a point of consideration of a very serious matter, and he wanted them to take it seriously enough to have a close look at it, to slow down. And he uses these words, not pass through the crossroads, not glance at the crossroads, but to stand at the crossroads and to look. This is an examination. This is a period of time. He wants them to slow and stop and really take an accounting of what's going on here. We have seen so many stories lately of sharks at the beach. Anybody been watching the news? And every day, no, zero people watch the news in here. I've been watching the news, and it seems like every day, every week, somebody somewhere is getting chomped on by a shark in the Gulf of Mexico. In Texas last week, four people got attacked by the same shark. I believe they all survived. A boy was standing in knee-deep water in another city in Florida, throwing a football back and forth with a buddy. Not far out, just right there at the, here come a shark, chomped on his leg. You see it over in Daytona, you see it over at the Gulf. Everywhere you look, someone's getting attacked by a shark. I don't know what accounts for it this year, but I do know this. If I were going to the beach, I'd be watching carefully, wouldn't you? I mean, every time I go in the water, I don't want seaweed rubbing up on me. But now that the sharks are loose, I really don't want it rubbing up on me. And every time a seaweed touches me, you might see me jump a little bit. But and now if seaweed touched me, I might lose my job here because what I say. I mean, you don't know. When there's a threat, when things are real, what do? We watch. We're looking in that water. We're going under to see if we can see any sharks coming around. I've never heard of anybody outrunning a shark, but we're looking, aren't we? And God is saying to his people here, listen, this is getting real. The judgment is coming. The teeth of my fury are about to bite into you because of your sinfulness. Can't you just take it seriously enough to look for a moment, to use caution, to consider if you still want to go the way you're going? It's a serious choice, and it doesn't happen on its own. I love John 3 and 16, and you know this verse, but I'm going to read further than that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. We get a rap for that sometimes, for speaking condemnation. That wasn't why God sent his Son into the world. He sent them not into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. Why does he judge then, if he didn't send his Son into the world to condemn? This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people have loved darkness rather than light. It's a choice. God's telling them, listen, you need to look, because the choice is a serious one. Stand still for a moment. God brings you to a crossroads, someplace you didn't want to be. You want to hit the gas and rush out of there. You want to be done with this. God brings you to a moment of spiritual conviction where you know things aren't right, where he's offered to make it well, and you say, this is uncomfortable. God, I don't like being in this situation. I don't like feeling the weight of conviction. I don't feel like feeling the discomfort of my sin, of your eyes looking upon me, of having to consider the cross. I'd rather just hit the gas and go out of here. God says, do the opposite thing. You stop, you look, you think, you consider. We can totally pass by where God is leading us while rushing down the highway of our own priorities. Don't do that. When God wants your attention, my friends, listen, when God wants your attention, it is worth surrendering the pace of life to stop and examine carefully what he is revealing to us. In this case, God was giving them the last off-ramp for repentance before disaster came. In your case, what's God speaking to you? Stand still and consider that choice. But secondly, ask God to help you know which way is his way. This is an amazing text here. Notice they had to ask. These were God's historic covenant people. They had known him. They had been rescued by him. Their fathers and grandfathers had spoken to them about the stories of God's deliverance. They should have, of all people, been able to recognize at least which way was the right way. But they don't even know. They can't even figure it out on their own. This is a shame to them. But notice God's grace here. He says, okay then, you've worked your way into this awful place of sinfulness where you cannot even see what my paths are. Here's what you do. Ask me. You just ask me, and I'll tell you what they are. You ask for the ancient paths here. That's the answer. You look for the old ways that are tried and true. You look for the eternal faithfulness and character of God, and you'll find where the good way is. You see, God doesn't change. He doesn't change. That's why these paths are ancient. The Bible says this in Malachi 3, "For I, the Lord, do not change." Hebrews chapter 13, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." God doesn't change. And so if you're looking for him, so here I am at the crossroads. What is the path I should take? You go to his word, you go to his character, and you will find the ancient paths there, and you walk in those ways. You know I love Cracker Barrel. It's one of my favorite places to go, and you guys are faithful to give me lots of gift cards to Cracker Barrel along the way, and we use them. I know you can't tell, but we do. We go to Cracker Barrel, and they've made some changes. You probably know this if you like Cracker Barrel. A few that I've made a note of here. They took away the Uncle Herschel's favorite breakfast. That was the one I always got, Uncle Herschel's favorite. Gone. Just got rid of it. Didn't ask anybody permission. They just did it. They got rid of the grits. You don't get grits anymore unless you ask for them and pay a special fee for the upcharge. I know not many people like grits, but I do. And after all, it's Cracker Barrel, right? I mean, give us the grits. We were there the other day, and they said, "I'm sorry, sir, we're out of gravy." I thought, what? This is Cracker Barrel. I said, "Say that one more time." No, I didn't. But I said, "We're out of gravy." And I said, "Well, I guess that'll be okay." But I halfway thought the judgment of God might fall right then, you know? You don't get out of gravy at the Cracker Barrel. But the biggest change that's annoyed me lately is this. They're supposed to have those little round jellies and jams, right? You know, who knows the name of them? Dickinson's, right? There's one right there. Do you recognize this? This is the Cracker Barrel kind of jam. It's Dickinson's. It's from the Pacific Mountains, strawberries. It's got that little tab on the edge. they've shrank them over time to a point that it's criminal, but they're still just like that. And I've been there for a few times recently, and here's what they have instead. Smuckers, right? Nothing against Smuckers, you know? Nothing against them. But that's not what you expect from Cracker Barrel, right? I can get Smuckers anywhere, right? I can go to Crystal and get Smuckers if I want to. But I can only get Dickinson's at Cracker Barrel. And so I'm contemplating how I'm going to write the letter after church today. You get Smuckers anywhere, and there's certain things that you can just get anywhere in life. And you come to these crossroads, here's what you need to start looking for. God says, you ask for the ancient paths. You ask where the good way is. You walk right there. If you come to a crossroads down this way, and from the way you've been coming and the way that you were going, it's a bunch of stuff that you can get anywhere else. I mean, you can find it anywhere. You can find that level, that measure of satisfaction in a video game. I mean, you can find this level of comfort in the mind-numbing binging of a TV show. You can find this measure of fellowship at a bar with friends. You can see that on this path and this path and this path. But down this way, you see something that can only be sourced by God Almighty, by the Savior, Jesus Christ, by His eternal promises. Those are the ancient paths. Don't settle for that other stuff. Ask God to help you know which way it is His. When you're at a crossroads, don't look for the path that leads to things you can find just anywhere. Look for what is distinctively and exclusively from God. And if you've been on a path that lacks the timeless blessings that flow from His changeless character, you ask God to show you where His path lies. That's the level of His mercy. Shame on you for not knowing, but you ask me and I'll give it to you. That's a loving God, isn't it? And lastly, walk in the path you know is from God. See, it's not enough that they had a choice. God gave them the crossroads. He led them there. He gave them that choice. It wasn't enough that they knew what choice God wanted for them. Well, they could simply ask, and He could show it to them. He said He would do it. But there's a third step. They have to do something. They had to act. They had to walk in that path if they were going to find rest for their souls. They had to bring it out of just knowledge. They had to bring it into their life. I saw an article last week of a man named Edward Lang from Pennsylvania, from New Jersey, rather. He was playing a video game called Ark Age. Anybody heard of Ark Age? Okay, some of you have. Ralph plays that game online. Just kidding. Ark Age. It's an online game. You play with people all over the world, and this guy in New Jersey had gotten into a disagreement with another character playing from Florida. And so he told his mom, he's 20 years old, lived with his mom. He said, Mom, I'm going to go see a friend in Florida who I met on the game. He went to Florida, stopped at Ace Hardware, bought a hammer, went to the man's house and beat him with it, right? Talk about bringing something out of the conceptual into real life, right? Sometimes I'll go by my kid's room and say, hey, let's cut off the video games for a minute. Let's come into the real world. That's not what I mean, guys. We don't want to hammer somebody. But this guy had a notion that what had started in the abstract had started just as knowledge that he was going to bring out into real life. And that's what's happening here. The Bible is telling us to walk in the path that you know is from God. There are going to be a lot of people one day who are disappointed, who are shattered, because they knew about God, they understood His ways, they were well versed in it, but they never put one foot in front of the other to have a walk with Him. They knew that the crossroads was there. They knew where the path was pointing, and they kept on going their same way. And so today, the last command God gives us here is to walk in the path we know is from God. Don't settle for simply possessing the knowledge of God without choosing salvation from God. Don't settle for being personally confronted by God, but rejecting the life he wants you to live. When God illuminates the crossroad to your eyes, you've got to take a step with your feet. No more sitting still. No more sitting still. God wants us to walk. And so one final question today. Who brought them to this crossroads? I think that's important for us, don't you? Who brought them to this crossroads? Well, it says it right at the beginning. Thus says who? The Lord. It was the Lord who did this. And so today, if you're at a crossroads, today, guys, if there's a decision at camp, if you were at camp, and sure enough, while you were there, you recognize, hey, I'm at a pivot point. God has put me at a place where things shouldn't be the same as they were before. Check. And you say, I got a notion from God. He illuminated. He put light on the pathway for me. And so not only was I at the crossroads, but he showed me where I'm going wrong and where I can find rest in my soul and have fullness from him. Check. But you came home and left it at that, and you never finished up with this third command to walk in that path. I don't want you to leave that behind today. I want you to take that chance. I want you to step out from there. I want you to reach for God. Take Fletcher's hand. Take someone's hand and begin walking with God. If today that's been you anywhere in your life, some point somewhere when maybe your heart was a little more tender, a little more responsive to God, you know you had that encounter. You know he was showing you the way. You know he was extending that grace, that mercy to you, and you walked away from it. Today could be the very day that you reach out and take his hand and you begin stepping with the Lord. You find a Savior forever. Newness of life, revival in your soul. Don't settle for simply possessing that knowledge without choosing his salvation. It's God who did this. Thus says the Lord, and he is trustworthy, my friends. We know him. Isaiah says this, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. That's what God says today. He's not trying to wrench you into this for his selfish reasons. He's trying to come alongside you and love you today. You can trust this God, and I want us to be a people who trust him, not only enough to have believed him, but enough to obey him. Let's respond to him with our lives. Let me pray for us. Just a moment, I'd like to offer you a time of response. If you're a young person here today and you made a decision at camp and you would like to allow this church who loves you dearly to share with that and celebrate with you, then I invite you to come forward and let me know about that. You can bring Fletcher if you want to. You can talk with him. He can stand with you. If you're a student, you're back from camp and you know there wasn't that moment at camp, but you want to make that decision today, you can do that right here today. And I promise you, I know it can be intimidating, but these people here love you. They'll rejoice with you. You'll have a forever family of faith right here at Poplar Springs who is with you and for you, will walk with you and strengthen you. Even more than that, you'll have a Savior who will never leave you. Today, if you're an adult in the room and there's a decision you need to make, I want you to truly consider it for a moment. Do what the Bible has said here today. Stand. Look. Give it a second. Don't pass on by. Don't press on through. I know that's easy. I know this moment of God speaking can pass, and we can get home to the recliner, or we can get to the restaurant, and it just soothes that discomfort right away. But if that discomfort is from God, then we owe it our attention and response. Maybe you've got a decision to make today. If you do, you've got friends here. We'll love you. We'll walk with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the Word of God and for trusting it to us. We are not worthy to handle it in the way that you give it to us. And I pray it will have meant something to you and to your people. I pray, Lord, you will use it in this moment and continue to use it this week in our lives, Lord. We do praise you today, but Lord, we want to not stop there. Let our feet follow our faith. Let us walk with you in ways even we haven't contemplated. You have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing, and as we do, this floor is open.